Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports venture capital company. And as you know, on this show, I have the honor of interviewing top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times changing the overall sports business industry. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So please subscribe to our show on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can also subscribe to our shows on our 76 Capital website. Today on our Sports Leadership Show, my guest is Frank Maselli. Frank is the Chief Revenue Officer of Spurs Sports Entertainment. Frank oversees franchise revenue operations for the San Antonio Spurs and San Antonio FC, including ticket sales and service, member services, corporate sales and retention, and global partnerships. This is going to be a fun one. Frank, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Wayne, so great to be here. Thank you. I'm honored to be a part of something. Your shows are fantastic. Your guests are better and better every week. And it's just a real pleasure and honor for me to be part of it.
Well, thank you for joining. And I love the fact that we're going to be able to talk Philly.
My hometown.
And that's, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. As everyone knows, 76 Capital is based in Philly. Frank is it's his hometown. And I'm sure you'll hear some great stories about all the people that he's worked with and all the things that he did in Philly. But now in San Antonio. And this past year has been pretty interesting. Something pretty big happened in San Antonio in the draft last year.
Yeah, you know, Wayne, it's amazing how smart we all got on May 16th when the NBA held its draft lottery and the basketball gods smiled upon the San Antonio Spurs. And lo and behold, we get the number one pick. And a month later, we draft this 7'4" phenom, 19-year-old young man named Victor Wembanyama. And he has been nothing short of sensational through 48, 50 games thus far in his young NBA career. And in addition to being just a great, great player, he's a terrific young man, surrounded by great parents, great siblings, terrific agents, good, strong people around him. He's just got a really, really good head on his shoulders, and we're delighted that he's part of our organization.
You know, I was out at the NBA Summer League this past summer and was luckily enough, at the game that he played, which was great. And it was standing room only. It was unbelievable to see what was happening. But one of the things that you just touched on is what I heard from so many different executives. What a good person Victor is.
Yeah, he's, you know, I think it, you know, like everything else, it starts with your parents or it starts at the top. And again, his agent and his agent's staff around him are very, very level-headed people. They're not rushing into anything. They're taking their time evaluating deals. You know, they're not racing for him to become Mr. Nightlife or anything like that. And he has such varied interests as himself, as a young man. I'll tell you this one quick story. During our media day, our brand team asked every one of our players to draw the coyote from memory. And they said you have like two and a half minutes to do it. And everybody did it. And they look like stick figures with ears. And, you know, Victor took 22 minutes to do his. And it was incredible. All from memory. And then at the very bottom, he put the artist. And he drew a little picture of an alien that was supposed to be himself because he likes a lot of sci-fi type things, very varied interest in his reading, in his music. I got to tell you, he's mature beyond his years. He just turned 20 3 weeks ago. And when you watch the young man in all his interviews, pregame, postgame, you know, and anywhere he is, he's the center of attention. And he handles it so well. He's so inclusive of his teammates. Again, wise beyond his years.
That's so great to hear. And, you know, in your role as the Chief Revenue Officer of the Spurs, I'm sure that's really is very helpful to you to have someone like that, to be able to sell with, you know, when you're out talking with different brands and other groups that would are interested in being, you know, associated with the Spurs?
Yeah, you know, Wayne, like for many, many years, long before I ever walked in the door there, and now I'm in my 16th year with the Spurs. You know, we've never made it about one player, even back in the day of when it was George Gervin or then David Robinson and then Tim Tony Manu. You know, the organization has always had the philosophy of let's talk about, certainly we have stars and everybody knows that. We have our Hall of Famers, but we've always valued the contributions of all the other players, the role players who make it possible for the stars to be stars. And, you know, I think back to when we had Patty Mills, people like that, Bruce Bowen, what a great defender he was. You know, these character players that it meant every bit of part of the success of the organization as the stars did. And again, certainly the talent of a Tim Duncan or David Robinson or Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, you know, George Gervin. These guys are, you know, so few and far between the God-given talent they had and how hard they worked at it and how hard they included their teammates. You know, the best stars are the ones who make everybody else around them better. And every one of the people I just named did that. They did it night after night. And Victor seems to be on that same pathway. You know, he's so inclusionary with his play, but it also in his interviews and things like that. So from the role I have, it's, you know, we always market the San Antonio Spurs as an organization. And, you know, our legacy is terrific, but it's all about the current team right now. It's great to look back, look up in the rafters and see those five banners and those Hall of Fame players' numbers retired. But right now we have the current team that we have, and we work very, very hard to make sure that they're getting their due, both from a marketing, sales, entertainment perspective as well.
But you still have the same coach.
And that's the beauty of it, right? Like, think about that. The coach, Hall of Fame coach, with more wins than anyone, and I think that is the bit of the mystique or the secret sauce to have all these great stars to play together on the same team for their entire career under the same Hall of Fame coach. You know, I when I speak at places, I tell people are going to be writing books about what the Spurs did for, you know, and you know, you're around the sports game. Sports are cyclical. And I look at the Spurs and say, we've been fortunate to ride the apex of that cycle for 22 years. And then, you know, of course, there's going to be a turn when you lose three Hall of Fame players in 2.5 years. There's going to be an effect. And we were living through that effect. It's what helped us get into the lottery. And lo and behold, here we are with Victor and a bunch of other really, really good young players. You know, when you look at the likes of Keldon Johnson and Jeremy Sohan, Devin Vassell, Trey Jones, you know, we have some really, really talented young players to build on. But as you know, it just takes time, even with a Hall of Fame coach. And I think that's what we're working through right now. But that's how the Spurs championship teams were built as well.
So while Coach Popovich is doing his thing on the floor, developing this next young group, you in the front office as the chief revenue officer, how do things change, I guess? And then how do you sort of really build on what you've been doing over the last, you know, almost decade and a half now or over?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Wayne. And I think for us, you know, the one thing that we always talk about in our business meetings are, I can't go out and hit a 3-point shot or make a steal, nor can anyone else on our team, you know, but we have to start with trying to create the greatest experience for our fans. And whether that's a fan watching the game on TV, a fan coming to the arena, a fan visiting our website, a fan going online to buy our merchandise. Like when you think of the word fan in today's world, that fan and many of ours, the vast majority of ours actually never see a game. They may not even live in Texas, but they're fans of our brand for whatever reason it may be. And it may go back to the legacy teams, or they may have just jumped online because they're a 15-year-old kid living in France, and they've just they're following Victor because it's a very star-driven league. And so we start with that premise and say, let's look at every facet of a fan interacting with our brand, and are we making it the very best experience we can? And certainly, you know, you look at everything that occurs in an arena, from driveway to driveway experience. Look at everything of how easy is it to navigate our website or to go online and buy a Victor or a Devin Vassell or a Keldon Johnson jersey, whatever that may be. When you look to stream our games, when you look for our highlights after the game, are we making things easy for our fans to interact with us? And that's where we really spend the vast majority of our time. Certainly from, you know, a ticket sales or a partnership standpoint, if we continue to do all those right things, all those business metrics will continue to creep up. And they have. And we're very, very fortunate to have the fan base that we have worldwide, globally. You know, I just came back 2 weeks ago. We went to Paris with Peter Holt, our owner, and Katrina Polanka, our VP of Global Partnerships, to essentially lay out why we were there and the fact that we have this incredible global audience. A built-in fan base in France. We're the third most popular team in France. No surprise that now that we have Victor, but we were the third most popular team prior to Victor, you know, in large part due to Tony Parker and Boris Diaw and Jan Mahimi and Nando DiColo. And our organization has this long, long history of developing international players long before many of the other teams have done so. And that's a credit to RC Buford and the scouting team he developed 15, 16 years ago, 20 years ago, when very few teams were doing that. And now everybody's doing it. Everybody, there's very few secrets any longer. But when you look back in time, you know, Manu Ginobili was a huge secret that no one even knew. And the Commissioner Stern didn't know how to pronounce his name and things like that. And, you know, the guy became a Hall of Fame player, both due to his play internationally with Argentina, but also with the Spurs. And, you know, winning four championships with the Spurs, you know, certainly helped that Hall of Fame career as well. So again, we look at everything from the vantage point. There's not a whole lot we can do, good, bad, or indifferent on the court, but we have to think of making any fan's experience better when they want to interact with the Spurs.
Well, I mean, I think that the, you know, the job of being a chief revenue officer, the job of thinking about going out and on the business side of things, which you've spent your career doing, I think you probably agree with me that things have changed a lot over the last several years.
Boy, that's saying a mouthful for sure. Yeah, I think just, you know, I'll just say this, even over the last 3 to 5 years, the old, you know, full season ticket, as an example, has turned it. There's still planned sales are doing just fine, but I'll tell you, they come in a different shape and form than they used to. You know, the old days of, okay, you have 41 regular season games, 3 preseason games. Here's your package of 44 games. You know, right. You have to pay in 3 or 4 installments, game over. Well, that has changed dramatically. And you know, when you hear people use the phrase, we have to meet our fans where they are. Well, you know, we're one of the organizations, as you know, that we do incredible amounts of research and data driving decisions. And so we did so much of surveying over the last 3 to 5 years. And what we found was even our most avid fans just said making 44 games is just untenable for us. And a lot of it is, you know, money isn't the main driver of that. The real driver is my family. I have a daughter in dance. I have a son in soccer. I have another. Their activities have taken up so much of their time, and they want to be a part of that. And so racing, you know, if my son has a game in Houston and I won't get back until 8 o'clock that night, I don't want to just leave those tickets in the drawer. So can we create custom plans? Maybe I want to buy premium games. Charge me more. I don't care, but I want these 15 premium games, or I only want a half season plan, or can you find me a partner? And it's been all that. And the real interesting fact, it starts with our highest valued seats. Starts with courtside seats and our charter seats in the lower level. They're the people who really, really want. And they're the first ones to say, I get I have to pay more. So be it. I'm good with that. I'm still a big fan, but I need a little bit more customization for my plan to remain a season ticket holder, because I just don't like leaving, you know, 10, 12 games in the drawer.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've been in this game for a while. You spent a good part of your career in Philadelphia with the Comcast Spectacor world. And, you know, some of our friends that we can talk about from that organization. You know, you think about how, and were you in Philadelphia when the original, I guess it was called the Core State Center?
Yes, I was actually. I was part of the team we were in the Spectrum. We, if you recall, in the Spectrum, we built what we called a prototype suite, Suite Z, that was going to look like a suite in the new building, which was, yeah, you're right, it was going, the first name was the Core State Center. And I was fortunate enough to be on that team from the premium seating side. That's where I started. Well, I actually started on the retail side much before that. But when I got to the Spectrum for an office, I was working on the premium side. And again, I was actually one of the first people to move from the Spectrum to the Core State Center and then back to the Spectrum for offices when we purchased an American Hockey League team back there. So it was one of the more exciting times of my entire career. And, you know, when you talk of some of our colleagues that we knew, you know, there's a few that jump to mind. Certainly Ed Snyder, to me, the greatest forward thinker. You know, think about it. He created facility management. He had the first RSN in Prism. If you go back to Prism, now I was on the wrong side of the tracks. I couldn't get Prism on my side of Broad Street. So I had to go to friend's house on the west side of Broad Street to ever see the Flyers. But again, I remember when we purchased the Phantoms, when we were moving into the new building, and everyone said that's going to be his biggest failure, is trying to put an American Hockey League team, you know, 100 yards across the parking lot from the Flyers and Sixers. And, you know, it turned out the Phantoms started breaking every record there was from an attendance standpoint. And, you know, we were really fortunate to have that Comcast Spectacor machine behind us. But, and then, you know, when Mr. Snyder put Peter Lukow in charge as the CEO, you know, that he became probably my biggest fan and cheerleader. And there's probably no one more responsible for my growth and the opportunities that were given to me than Peter. You know, he had more faith in my abilities than I did. And he just kept giving me more and more and more opportunities with minor league baseball teams, with the Philadelphia Wings. You know, he was just naming me, you know, chief operating officer of everything. And at the time, I still had all the Flyers, all the Phantoms, all the Sixer sales, all the building. You know, we had that big group sales department that sold group sales to every event in the building, whether that was Disney on Ice and every family show, concert. So it was a great deal. And he said, "Ah, just hire good people. Come on, man. You got this." And
you sound just like him when you said that.
I 18 years together, and we had a road show. But, you know, he was right in there with us. He was never, as you know, he's not an ivory tower guy. He's a guy that rolls up his sleeves. He wants to know what's happening. He wants to do it with you. I mean, I can tell you when we bought three minor league baseball teams in 1999. So this was only 3 years after we started the Phantoms. And he said, "Hey, we're going to buy these three minor league baseball teams." And I said, "Wow, that's awesome." He goes, "Well, it's awesome for you. You're running them." That's how I found out I was running them. And he said, "Come on, we'll get in a car. We'll drive down there. We'll go meet all the media people." And he was right there with me. He never sent anybody off alone until he felt you had your feet under you. And, you know, all of a sudden it's a year in and he says, okay, you're going to become a music booker now. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, see these great, we have these three great stadiums. We got to turn them into concert venues now. So I'm going to put you in touch with a few people I know and start booking concerts to these places. And we did. So I jumped into the music business, you know, feet first and just right into the deep end. And, you know, the good news is I always had Peter and John Page to call upon, which I did often, to just say, hey, you know, I think I could get Leonard Skinner in the building and here's the deal. And I think it's a good deal. Do you think it's a good deal? Until I learned the ropes. You know, I had two of the best in the business right there, you know, a phone call away or a walk across and or a night on the Flyers game. We were all in the same suite together. And so like the greatest in the business were at my fingertips, at my disposal. And, you know, they're the things, Wayne, I'll never, ever forget. Those kindnesses that they showed, you know, on my way up, I had a lot of support, let's put it that way. And I never, ever took it for granted or ever forget about it.
Well, it's great to hear that. You know, they're also certainly great friends of ours here at 76 Capital. And I'll tell you, you know, it's really interesting. There's probably, I was laughing, you know, and thinking inside when you were saying we're buying all these minor league baseball teams in 1999. Well, all these real smart people across the sports industry are now buying minor league baseball teams in 2023, 2024, right? As if it's a new thing, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Peter, he was another guy, like learned from Matt Snyder. We all did, you know, just to be a couple steps ahead. And, you know, he had this idea that we were going to start our own ticketing company. We were going to start our own food and beverage company and our own facility management company, which we did all of those under Peter's leadership. But he said, we got to create a little critical mass. And so, you know, buying these three baseball teams, you know, then you add in the Phantoms and the Wings and what our properties were. And all of a sudden you had critical mass for that we're going to do the food and beverage at all these places. We were going to do, you know, our three baseball teams were the guinea pig that one summer for our ticketing company, which, you know, we learned the hard way, you know, what was good, what was bad, how to fix things, all of that. And then the facility management of each of those places. So it did give us that critical mass. And then we grew from there and grew quickly. And so, you know, I look back on those times as, you know, halcyon days that, best days of my life. You know, we were working so hard round the clock, but having so much fun doing it. Like we really had a good time. You know, we worked hard, we were making money, and we were having a really good time together. And it was, you know, one of those rare things you find, you know, and I'm sure we can talk about leadership, but where, you know, everybody was pulling for each other. No one was vying to move in. You just said like you had the faith that if you go and do your end of the job, that good things are going to happen to you. And that was the vibe that was put out there. And I certainly bought in big time. And, you know, I can certainly say it worked for me that, I was never going to be the guy knocking on the door. Hey, I need a promotion. I need more money. I need that. I was never, ever going to be that guy. And, it's so nice when it works the other way, when somebody comes to you and says, hey, we really think you're doing a terrific job at X, Y, or Z. And we'd like to give you some other things to do in terms of responsibility and accountability. And I'd want it no other way. And I was so fortunate to work with such great people.
You know, I use the example of what Mr. Snyder did and what Peter and John and the whole team there and you're part of it all as the example of the really transforming the industry at the time. And now we're at this other, you know, this sort of next step or this next stage where so many things are being transformed. So many things are changing. You've got so many new players coming to the world of sports. You have, whether it's companies like Google and Apple and Amazon and Netflix, and you know, and you have new leagues now are popping up. You have new technology. You have sports betting. You have things that, like, you know, are brand new things. But a lot of similar types of things were created and built just a couple decades ago.
Yeah, you're right on the money, Wayne. And again, the business that you're in, you bring, we've had those discussions where you bring those accelerators and some of these new startups to the forefront. And, you know, that's something that we really want to be a part of as a testing ground. We think we have, you know, a really terrific global brand that if someone wanted to test, you know, some new technology, we're open to it. We want to be the beta site for teams to just learn, because we're learning every day. This business is changing. You know, you mentioned sports betting. Unfortunately, Texas is not a legal state at this time. There's another vote that will be coming up in 2025 that we hope. There's lots of people working behind the scenes to see if that could happen. We have a deal in place. You know, we have a pre-legislation deal and a post-legislation deal if it were to come to the fore. But, you know, I could see a day, not too distant future, where you're watching the game, you're betting on the same game, maybe through an app on the television. Maybe you don't even need to use your mobile phone. Maybe you're just doing it right through your television. And, you know, with all these prop bets that are coming up, you know, they're big in the news now because Super Bowl is, whatever, 6 days away. But, you know, there's bets where you can bet on, in baseball, every inning, every half inning, what a particular player is going to do in a game over four at bats, or what a pitcher is going to be doing. So I just see the explosion of all of this coming together. And, you know, think of like the analytics for stats, these stat heads that are just so deep in the weeds of like every single stat that is imaginable. People have at their fingertips in seconds. And again, I remember the old days, go on day of game, I'd go into the media room just to get the 40-page packet of stats, just to look up, you know, what's this guy's shooting average, or how many goals does so-and-so have? And now people just have everything on their phone in seconds. I see people at our games, like, that are sitting in the stands, that I hear them talking, saying, oh, didn't he used to play for such and such a team? And in 2 seconds, they look it up and say, oh, yeah, he averaged 18.5 points a game and 9 rebounds a game. Like, it's incredible what information is at people's fingertips right now. And I see nothing changing other than it getting bigger, better, faster, and easier to use.
You know, Frank, this has been amazing having you on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, and it's going so fast. And as we start to wrap up, I got a couple more things we wanted to talk about. I mean, sure. You know, certainly the speed of data, the opportunity to be able to watch teams from anywhere on any device all over the world. I mean, as a chief revenue officer, this just opens up, I'm sure, so many opportunities for you to bring in new partners for the Spurs. Maybe talk about some of these, maybe global, you talked about France earlier, but just on a global scale, or maybe other, you know, different potential partners that you may not have ever been able to have before. How are they now getting more and more involved with the Spurs?
Yeah, thank you for the question. You know, I have to credit Adam Silver and the NBA. As you know, up until 3 years ago, teams were not allowed to had zero international rights, zero. And so then they did this pilot program where they said, okay, you could go get one international deal where they could use your IP rights. And we're like, okay, that's a start. And, you know, for us, Mexico was the logical place. Our team had played 5 games internationally there over the years. We have an awful lot of Mexican nationals that live in San Antonio. They have like dual citizenship. We actually have about 400 season ticket holders that live in Mexico. For us. And so we started there. And fortunately for us, we got a deal under the auspices of one international deal with an airline Viva Aerobus. And as part of that deal, yes, there was money as part of it, but we also looked at it. What else can it do for us from a branding perspective? And we became, I believe, the first team to have an internationally branded plane that would go back and forth between Mexico City and San Antonio. And it's awesome. The plane is gorgeous. It's got the huge Spurs logo on it, our colors, really, really terrific. And then with the success of that, the league expanded it to three international partners. And we were able to land our second one also in Mexico with a tequila brand, Ejole. And it's a seven-figure deal that we were very, very fortunate to get. And we're working on several others that we have talks ongoing right now, including France. From our recent trip, there's actually two or three that we've sent decks to and have upcoming meetings. We just got back 2 weeks ago from that trip. But to your point, the NBA allowing teams the ability to use IP internationally and partners to use it internationally, to me, has been a game changer. You know, we hope in the not too distant future, you know, the league has now also expanded that to 10. You're now allowed to go up to 10 partners. And so we hope to get to that limit, you know, over the next 2 to 3 years with international partners. You know, we feel like we've really, really done a solid job in San Antonio with all the big players there. And fortunately, we've been able to keep those partners by providing value back to them and their organizations. But you talked about, you know, the upcoming NBA negotiations on TV rights and who's going to win and who's going to get them and who's going to have streaming rights. And then how will the team participate? We're kind of waiting on the sidelines for those discussions to occur to find out how the teams can tap into that from a revenue standpoint, other than just collecting what the league does per team. You know, that's certainly very important and always has been from a revenue standpoint. But what can we do locally or internationally, even if it's highlight shows after the fact? Because we have one of our players is kind of a human highlight reel game after game. And we'd love to be able to monetize that in bigger and better ways.
Absolutely. And you've touched on this a little bit, but I mean, when you think about the future of fan engagement, I mean, it's certain those are very, very important words, right? And what it's really all about and having the fan and have just an amazing time, whether they're in your arena, whether they're at home, whether they're watching the game in a restaurant, a bar, in this country, somewhere else. What do you think about like the future of what fan engagement will look like?
Yeah, you know, Wayne, I envision, you know, when you watch a show on Netflix and you pause it and like all the stars' names come up on the side and all that, you know, I envision a day where that'll happen, you know, anywhere you are. And oh, Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, I think I'll order his jersey right now. And I think like you do it in the moment when your fandom is at its hottest peak. While you're watching a game, when he does something great, or anyone else for that matter, or you see a shot of the team on the bench and they're wearing these really, really cool City Edition shooting shirts. And you say, wow, how did I get one of those? Well, I see a day where you just click on the screen and everything will come up for you. A whole menu comes up for you where you're just able to go do that in the moment for those fans who want to do that. Or where you click on and I want a different camera angle than the one that's being shown here. I want the camera angle that's just on Pop the whole game on the sideline. I want to watch what he does while the team's, you know, to see his reaction when we have a turnover or when we do something great or when he's really, really angry at a referee, whatever that may be, you know, where you can select what camera angle do I want to watch as a fan. And I don't think those days are that far off, or I'm wearing, you know, virtual reality goggles and I'm sitting at home, but it feels like I'm sitting courtside, center court on the court, and I'm able to watch the players that way. And all these things have been tested. You know, 2 years ago, the NBA came and did a virtual reality test with one of our games, and they invited me into the truck to go try it. And it was incredible. You know, it certainly was choppy and it wasn't flowing right, but you can certainly see where the future is going. And I will tell you, I was sitting in a truck and I truly felt like I was sitting center court, courtside. And the experience was phenomenal, like really something great. And I do think that that technology is being worked on and will be leveraged at some point in the not too distant future.
Well, for whoever's watching this show on YouTube, they can just look behind me and see the entrepreneurs who are working on all the things that you're talking about. Yeah. And you're 100% right about all these things. It's so exciting what's happening. It's so exciting that, you know, the biggest technology players are coming into the world of sports, they're staking their claim as we speak, and will continue to do that. The entrepreneurs who are creating the next generation, you know, sports technology companies are out there every day, you know, really doing a heck of a job. And you know, we're here at 76 Capital, hopefully investing in all those companies that will do all the things that you're talking about. So as we finish up, I really, you know, like to ask all of our guests about, you know, about leadership. It is our sports leadership show. We talk a lot of times talk about the different traits that leaders need to have, or things that you believe are just really important to be a leader in the world of sports.
Yeah, thank you, Wayne. You know, I've always believed, whether from my athletic days, high school and college, athletics were very important to me, but I've always felt that leadership is really about the success of others. And it's very easy to intellectualize that, but very, very hard to actualize it for all the reason. We're human beings and people have egos and people have drive and fears and think that, like, oh, if I'm not in the boss's ear, then he is and she is, and I might not be getting my, and I've never taken that approach because for me, it was more about, I wanted to win. I wanted to be on a winner. I wanted to be part of a winning team, organization, whatever that was, because that to me meant so much more, because it's more enjoyable. It's certainly more enjoyable when you're having success as an organization and not one-offs here and there. And so everything that I've always done or have tried to do is really in service of others. And, you know, in the role I play now is, you know, that inverted pyramid. I work for all of you. What could I do to eliminate red tape? These are people who are on the front lines, so giving them a voice. So you're talking to customers. You know, I may talk on a game night to 8 or 10 different customers. I have 16 people that are talking to 40, 50 a day. So I truly, truly value what they're gleaning from our customers. And so providing a voice, a platform where they feel safe and confident and no idea is a bad idea, because to be honest with you, that's how we've created some of the success that we've had. You know, I remember somebody saying, you know, what do we need to do to overcome the obstacle of the season ticket holders that say, you know, I just can't make 44 games. I need to customize it. And our team, three people on our team came up with a program we called the Passport Plan, whereas really you put in a bank of $30,000. Then we lowered it to $18,000. And then let's say you have a huge CEO coming in that you want to entertain. You can buy courtside seats for a game with that bank. And then if you want to reward your employees and there's 50 of them, you can put them all upstairs and give them a $20 food voucher as part of it. Like, we gave them the ultimate flexibility. That came by giving our staff a voice, a platform, because they were all afraid to throw the idea out there thinking this may not be a great idea. And Wayne, I'll tell you, in our first year, half a year, we did over $1 million in what we call passport programs. And it grew to as much as $3 million. So, like, they're the things I look at in terms of leadership. And then always open-minded. Like, I don't have this figured out. I've been doing this 40 years. I learn something new every single day from people that are 23, 4 years old. Whether it's something on the technology and just being open-minded that you don't know everything. I certainly don't. And then just having that learner mindset, teach me something new today. And then I'm going to be able to pay that back to you. And then I think lastly, probably being a really good listener, and then helping people. I want to know, I had people that mentored and looked out for me that got me to where I am. And I want to be one of those people to give back. Tell me what your hopes, dreams, goals, ambitions are. And I want to be the guy to bluntly, directly tell you what you need to do to get there. I want to be help you on that road, because without others that it would have helped me, I wouldn't have made it. I know that that having those mentors and people that looked after you and cared for you on tough days, boy, it means the world when you're grinding it out in those dog days of whatever season it may be. And I cherish those days and try to be an example for others today.
That's amazing. I'm Frank, I'm all fired up. I want to come down to San Antonio.
We'd love to have you, Wayne. Make a trip. We'd love to have you. Show you our organization from top to bottom. Game day. Take you over to see our new practice facility. Some really special things happening here in San Antonio. And we'd love to have you be a part of that to take a look at it.
Well, I'd love to as well. Thank you. And I will definitely take you up on that. And we'll see each other at the Jersey Shore or something or in the,
yes, sir,
in the area. So this is just great. Frank Maselli, Chief Revenue Officer of Spurs Sports and Entertainment. You know, we never even got to talk about the FC side of things, but there's so much more. There's so much to talk about. You know, I appreciate everything that you shared with us, and just all the great stories and just your vision on truly what's next across the sports business industry. So thank you so much for joining us on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Wayne, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it all.
Look forward to seeing you soon.